If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to our scripture text this afternoon, which will come from Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, and we will read verses 8 through 16. And the historical setting here is that of Moses and his young protege Joshua finding themselves in battle against the Amalekites as God had just recently brought them from the land of Egypt. And so this story recounts that battle and the great victory that God gave them, but also this wonderful self-revelation of the Lord that comes in the form of a name that Moses gave to an altar that he built to the Lord after winning this particular battle. And our focus will be upon that verse, verse 15. But let's begin to read at verse 8, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Thus far, the reading of God's word. You don't have to be a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church for a very long time before you know what the blue banner is. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, do know what the blue banner is. It's a small flag or banner, and it is blue, as the name would suggest. And that banner says, "For Christ's crown and covenant," on it. And that is the banner of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And that particular banner represents something of the history and the identity of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And with that proclamation on that banner, "For Christ's crown and covenant," it lets the world know where our loyalties stand. Banners do that, don't they? In fact, banners are designed to do that, to represent the identity and the solidarity of a group behind a common cause, whether that group is, say, a nation or a church or some other kind of group. Now, if this is what banners do, if they embody the identity and the loyalties of a group, then, metaphorically speaking, the true banner of God's people can be said to be the Lord himself. And this is the metaphor that we find in what Moses declares in Exodus 17. He says, "The Lord is my banner." Now, this particular phrase, this declaration or divine name, "The Lord is my banner," is only used once in the Old Testament, and it's only used here in Exodus 17. But the metaphor that it contains, "The Lord is my banner," that is a unique revelation of God's character in relation to his people. And as we will see, it is a revelation of God that is fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, briefly and simply, this afternoon we'll do three things. We'll think about and talk about the meaning of this phrase, "The Lord is my banner," as it's found here in Exodus 17. Secondly, we'll think about its fulfillment in Christ and his work. And then finally, we'll think about some present application that we can put to effect in our lives today. Well, first of all, the meaning of this name. As we've read in this passage, Moses and Joshua come to this point of battle against the Amalekites, and the Lord gives them a miraculous victory. And after the battle, Moses is intent upon worshiping the Lord in thanksgiving for this victory, and he builds an altar, and he gives the altar a name. Now, the name is a divine name. It is a divine title, all right, as many names for God are revealed in the Bible, such as the Lord our righteousness, or the Lord our provider, right? These wonderful names for God that encapsulate something about his character. And that's what this is as well. The name is Yahweh or Jehovah Nissi. Now, the first part of that name is that great divine covenant name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Right, and we've talked about this in the past as well. It's spelled in Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, pronounced by some as Yahweh, or rendered famously in the King James Bible as Jehovah, right? And that's the first part of this name, Jehovah or Yahweh. And it's a revelation of God's self-existence and eternality, because the name itself is built upon the Hebrew verb to be. God says, I am who I am. And that's what his name means. He is self-existent and eternal. But that name is now, in this passage, joined to a different word. And the Hebrew word is the word Ness. And if you were to transliterate that into English, it would be N-E-S-S, Ness, all right? And the Hebrew word, it refers to, and it has a possessive ending on it, E, Nessi. You put that all together, it becomes the Lord is my banner. Now, this word, Ness, in Hebrew, is used a couple of dozen times in the Old Testament, and it stands for a pole or a banner, something along those lines. The King James Version translates it as ensign. But it's not always a flag, right? It can be something else, something attention-getting, like a pole that might have some kind of banner on it, something like that. But something that is meant to grab the attention of people, used very often in conjunction with blowing a horn or sounding the trumpet. There are passages that say, raise the banner and sound the trumpet. All right? And the key in interpreting this phrase in Exodus 17 is understanding the metaphor that it creates. With the Lord is my banner, we have to understand what a banner was used for in the Old Testament. Now, as I said, in the Old Testament, a ness in Hebrew, or a banner, was raised in a prominent place, usually on a hilltop. And it was used for drawing people together for some common purpose or for some common action. It was a signal pole, as I mentioned, often with a flag of some sort attached to it, often accompanied by a trumpet or a horn, meant to draw people together for some common purpose, like a rally point or a gathering point for an army before battle. Now, the prophetic books use this imagery many times and in very rich ways. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet pictures God raising a banner, a ness in Hebrew, raising up a banner to gather the nations together for war. Jeremiah 50 pictures the raising of a banner to signal a public proclamation, to get everyone's attention. So we get a picture of what this is, Ness, a banner. It is a signal to gather around for a common purpose or a united action. But even more importantly, a banner stood as a point of focus or an object that symbolized the common hope or the common cause of a people. Armies would use them in battle as a symbol of their unity and as a symbol of their fighting spirit, as a symbol of their identity and solidarity. Sometimes these banners are pictured as striking fear in the hearts of the enemies when they see them. So it is a symbol of hope, solidarity, and a call to action. And I think that's somewhat true today, too. Think about our national flag and some of the context in which you see it. It can be and is often a symbol of hope or unity, especially in times of war. Think about some of the iconic pictures from our history's past, like the fireman raising the flag on the rubble of the World Trade Center after 9/11, and that picture of him raising that flag, right? Or even further back in history, the Marines raising that flag on Iwo Jima in World War II, an iconic picture. Everyone has seen it. And that gives you a sense of what a banner can represent, right, to a people and to a cause. Now, in Exodus 17, the context here is Israel's battle against the Amalekites, and God delivered a miraculous victory for them. And amazingly, as long as Moses held up the rod of God in his hand, Joshua was victorious in the battle against the Amalekites. Now, Moses holding a rod in his hand up over his head, that fits the description of a ness, a signal pole, a banner pole. That fits the description of what is being described here. And sometimes the church fathers who wrote and preached on this text got a little bit allegorical. One actually pictured Moses holding a rod of God in his hand, making the sign of a cross. And as long as he did that, Joshua, who's name is the same as Christ. Christ's name is Yeshua. As long as he held the cross up, Joshua was victorious in the battle. Well, that's a bit imaginative, and I don't know if the text really intends that symbolism. It may be a bit too imaginative, but nevertheless, the church fathers were anxious to see the Lord Jesus and his work wherever they could. But nevertheless, in this passage, God gives that miraculous victory. And he made it clear that that victory was his doing. And the point of this name, Jehovah Nissi, the God is my banner, is that God himself was to his people everything that a banner could represent to a people, that he was their strength, he was their rally point, if you will, he was their point of hope and solidarity. While an army's banner might symbolize their national pride or their fighting spirit, the Lord himself was the pride and the strength of his people. A waving banner can be a point of focus and an object of hope for an army in battle. But to the covenant people of God, God himself is their banner. He is their point of focus and the object of their hope. A banner is meant to stir the passions of loyalty and service. But with God as our banner, our loyalty and our service belong to him. And so this is what the name Jehovah Nissi means, or the Lord is my banner. After this great victory in which God defended and protected his people, they did not plant their own flag and claim their own victory. Instead, Moses built this altar to worship and to give the glory to God, and he called the name of that altar, the Lord is my banner. Whatever a banner might represent to another people or another nation, all those things represented by that banner, the Lord is to us. And the Lord is still the banner of his people. He is our banner. That is to say, he is our point of focus. He is our object of hope and the one to whom our loyalty and our service belong. Now, there is a particular way in which this banner metaphor is then applied to Jesus Christ in the Bible. And so I invite you to turn, if you have a Bible, or you can turn to Isaiah chapter 11, or you can simply listen as I read. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says this, Isaiah 11, verse 10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, all right, David's father, and the reference here is to the eternal king who would come through that line, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. Now, Isaiah, who is arguably the most Christological of all the prophets, personifies the banner of God as the promised Messiah, the root of Jesse. Now remember, a banner is a rallying point. It is a common cause. It is a common hope, a point of solidarity for the people. In Exodus 17, God was revealed as the banner of his people, Israel. Now in Isaiah chapter 10, the Christ, the Messiah, is seen as a banner to the Gentiles, to men from all nations, meaning that he will call them, he will rally them, and he will be a common point of hope to them. As a banner to the Gentiles, he will beckon them to his salvation. So the extension of the gospel into the Gentile world throughout the world is prophesied using this imagery of a banner to the nations. And it is Christ who is that banner. The point is that Israel's Messiah will be lifted up like a banner, that all kinds of men the world over might rally around him to his salvation. Now, the lifting up of Christ as a banner is a theme of prophetic imagery in the Bible that leads us to the cross. Now, right now we're going to follow a short trail of about three different verses, a trail of texts that flesh out this prophetic imagery, which begins all the way back in Exodus 17. First, I want to take you to Numbers chapter 21, and this is the famous incident in which there were complainers among Israel, and there were, in this time, an expression of God's judgment, serpents among them, wreaking havoc among them, and God provided a deliverance, a salvation for them by Moses lifting something up, and all who looked at it were saved from these serpents. Look at Numbers 21, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole," it says in the New King James Version. But this is the Hebrew word nes, which I just introduced you to, that appears in Exodus 17, all right? So Moses says that the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a," let's say, "banner," right? It's the word nes. "And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live," all right? Keep that in mind. Let me take you to another passage of Scripture, the Gospel of John chapter 3, where Christ directly compares himself to the lifting up of this banner, of this ness. The lifting up of that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 14. And this is Christ speaking. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up. It's a matter of prophecy. It's a matter of his covenant with the Father to be lifted up and to be that sacrifice. Now, what is the result of what does he have in mind in his lifting up? His lifting up was his crucifixion, was him being lifted up on the cross, and he had to be lifted up. Now, what is the result of him being lifted up like a banner? John chapter 12, verse 32. John 12, verse 32. "And I," this is Jesus speaking, "if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." That is to say, he will draw all kinds of people the world over to himself in faith. So, let's piece these verses together. Jesus compares his crucifixion to a lifting up. And prophecy pictures him as a banner that is lifted up, which draws men to himself. So just as Isaiah prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 10, Jesus was lifted up like a banner to the nations. He was lifted up in his crucifixion, and like a banner, he draws men from all nations to himself in faith. But all of this imagery begins in Exodus chapter 17. In that instance, it was said, "The Lord is my banner," in the sense that, in the metaphorical sense that he was their hope and their strength in the battle against the Amalekites. But it still remained to be seen how truly and how physically the Lord himself would be our banner, a banner that was lifted up to draw people to himself, not as a metaphor, but as a man lifted up and nailed to the cross. More than any flag, the cross of Christ has become our point of hope, our rally point, if you will, as God's people. Christ on his cross is our banner of salvation, lifted up once and for all in the sight of all the nations. Now, that being the case, let's conclude with just a few words of application. If Christ is that banner that has been lifted up, that draws men to him, to his salvation, then Christ, again, think about, let's go back to the metaphor. What is a banner? It is a point of focus, isn't it? If the Lord is our banner, then the Lord Jesus Christ must be our point of focus in life. If Christ is lifted up, if he is revealed, if he is unfurled like a banner, then the continuing point of application to us is that he is to be our point of focus and the sole object of our hope. He is to hold our attention and our loyalty and our service. If a simple banner on a pole can stir up the pride and service of an army or a nation, then how much more should the Savior of our souls stir up our loyalty, our hope, our service, and our sacrifice? A banner, as you know, always stands for a cause, doesn't it? A banner always stands for a cause. If Christ is our banner, then he must be our cause. His glory must be our purpose, his word our command, and he himself our hope. So this great divine name, Jehovah Nissi, is a name for God that calls us to Christ-centered lives. We are called to have him as our banner by growing in faith and growing in sanctity, by making him the obvious and exclusive point of focus in our lives. But again, if a banner is also a picture or an image of solidarity, then this passage tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our point of solidarity as well. Think about that, a banner being a symbol of solidarity. And it is, isn't it? Nobody has their own flag, right? A flag is always stands for a group of people who have some point of solidarity among them, right? No individual has their own flag. If that is a case, a flag stands for a common cause and a bond between men. Now, Moses called his altar, "The Lord is my banner," using the singular possessive, but truly he is our banner, right? His glory is our common cause. His grace is our bond of solidarity. So this great divine name, Jehovah Nissi, is a name that calls us to mutual service and reciprocal love within the church. We are to be united in purpose under one banner, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, a banner is an object of hope. It's meant to send a signal, isn't it? What do you do with a flag or a banner? You put it in a prominent place so that men can see it. It's supposed to send a message, to send a signal, isn't it? A banner is meant to do that. Nobody has a flag or a banner and puts it in a drawer, right? You put it on a pole, don't you? And you fly it so people can see it. Just in the same way, no one lights a candle and puts it under a basket. A banner is meant to be raised. It's meant to be seen. It's meant to be noticed. And if Christ is our banner, then it is our purpose to make him known, right? To make him seen, to unfurl that banner before men, and to show forth Christ in our words and in our lives as the one true God and the one risen Savior, who is the Lord our banner. So, this is what Jehovah Nisi calls from us this divine name, we are to show the world that Christ is our banner by living as his witness and living for his glory. Now, as we come to the Lord's table here this afternoon, we reaffirm that the Lord, our banner, is to us everything that a banner symbolizes: a point of focus, a point of solidarity, and the object of our witness. And more than that, the Lord's Supper itself proclaims something, doesn't it? We began our service by talking about that. It's a proclamation of something, and it proclaims the fact that Christ was lifted up as he said he must be. He was crucified, and like a banner, he has drawn us to himself. We now are a people that have one cause, we have one point of hope, and we have one banner, the Lord, our banner. Let's pray.